1 John chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible reads, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So, the scripture is saying, if we abide in Christ, we ought to walk like he walked. So, today, I want to talk about walking like the King. Because I found out in scripture, sometimes Jesus would let the disciples go by themselves. Can you believe that? Sometimes he let them walk by themselves. Okay, you know it. He says, I'm going to send you two by two into a city before I come. I need you to walk by yourself for a minute. We've been together a little while. I want you to walk like I walk. Y'all ready this morning? Let's see if you're ready. Mark chapter 5. Walking like the King. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes." You know, Jesus was willing to go where he was needed, not just where he was popular. Sometimes we like to hang out where we can be popular, where we can be celebrated. Well, Pastor, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, if you understand the story here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus has left a multitude. There was folks all around him. Oh, you big, oh, the crowds are here. And some people love to appease the crowds. But Jesus said, we got to go to the other side. So he gets in the ship, leaves the crowd, and now he's in the land or the country of the Gadarenes. So he went where he was needed, not necessarily where he was popular. See, everyone may not celebrate you, but somebody still needs you. We're going a little bit here. Popularity is not always a confirmation of proper placement. You know, this must be where I should stay. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? No. The Bible says that Stephen ran a revival. Folks getting saved in the city. I mean, it's happening. Holy Ghost said, listen, I need you to go over here and minister to the eunuch. One person. Wait a minute, the whole city coming out to see me. This is absolutely wonderful. And you want me to do what? He went where he was needed, not necessarily where he was popular. So we can't allow popularity to be the confirmation that that's where we should be. I'm talking about walking like the King now. Verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You know, I've learned that Christianity is not a part-time occupation. It's a full-time lifestyle. What do you mean, Pastor? The Bible says when he was come out of the ship, immediately. Ain't no time to get prayed up. Well, hold on. Wait a minute. Let me go pray and I'm going to come back. No, immediately. Yes, sir. You set your foot off the ship on the land, you met with stuff. That's why I don't understand how people feel that you can prepare for everything that's coming apart from Christ. See, it wasn't that Jesus was quote unquote prayed up. It's he is the anointing. We get this thing like, well, I got to get prayed up. How do you know you prayed up? Show me the gauge that lets you know how much prayer is needed to be prayed up. But I can show you that the Christ in you could handle any crisis. See, I think we depend on us too much. I got to get prayed up. Maybe it's just an eye problem. Verse 3 is really interesting. Let me do verse 2 again, though, so that we can catch this. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. If you notice in verse 2, we are engaged in a story. And the story has literally Jesus stepping out of the ship on the shore. The Bible says, and immediately. Well, immediately he is confronted with this individual. Verse 3 takes us out of the story. Watch. Come with me. It says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Verse 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So the story is interrupted to cause us to see what type of life this man has been subjected to all the time prior to Jesus coming there. Verse 2, Jesus steps off, the man shows up, but verse 5, it brings us a chronological history of what the man has been going through. Yes, sir. Notice verse 4 says, the latter portion, neither could any man tame him. In other words, all the man-made solutions had failed. There are people that are in horrible situations and need to experience the presence of the King. Verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now, first and foremost, you got to know that this is not the man talking. That's pretty important right now that we understand that because of the twist of the story. So Jesus has stepped off the ship onto land. He's been met by a man who's got some demonic issues in his life. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him or bowed down. He cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. He was really begging him not to torment him. Now, if we walk like Jesus, that's all the enemy will see. The Bible says he saw Jesus afar off. If we walk like him, that's all he's going to see. I know you're saying, well, Pastor, I don't understand. That's something you just, Acts 19 and 15 is what I'm saying. And it goes like this. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? If we walk like Jesus, that's all the enemy will see. It ain't about being anybody else or doing it. Walk like him, that's all the enemy will see. Verse 8. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Listen, every spirit that is not of God is an unclean spirit. Let me do that first. Every spirit that is not of God is an unclean spirit. Now, when we realize that, you ain't got time to play with spirits. Amen? I'm just making sure we're all in there together. Now, verse 9. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, I don't have time to do all of this, But Jesus was not concerned with the name of the spirit as we see name. Okay? Jesus was addressing the character because there were many spirits. There are some people who do these teachings. Oh, you got to know what the name of this is. Okay, first off, no, you don't. Well, Pastor, why are you saying that? Every one of them is unclean. So this is the category they fall in. I don't care if it's a dumb spirit. I don't care if it's a deaf spirit. Guess what? It's still unclean. So when you realize that, okay, all of them are in that category, and because they oppose Christ, all you got to do is come out. That's what you have the authority to do. Because when my Bible reads that when he gave them authority, he gave them authority over all devils. So I don't have time to be you know what? Even when you talk to a person in the natural, you be, hey, because I don't know your name. But that don't mean you don't respond to me. I'm just saying. After a while, you're going to turn to, because you know I'm talking to somebody in your general vicinity. So you're going to respond. Verse 10. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now remember, we're talking about walking like the king. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Luke 8 and 31, which is the same story, says, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. That word deep means the bottomless pit. So listen to this. There is a bottomless pit currently, and it exists right now. Whether we see these things or know these things in the sense of having seen them, touched them, feel them, that don't mean that they don't exist. And notice this, the spirits knew. So when you tell them where to go, they know what you're talking about. What, Pastor? What? Yes. That's why we're going to grow up in this thing and be able to, we're going to walk like the king. Let me not get ahead of myself. Verse 11. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him. Okay, all of them talking now. Saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits, what? No, what kind of spirits were they again? Oh, so we ain't got to get everybody named. All y'all unclean. So the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Listen to this. Demons are so horrible that even pigs prefer to die than live with them inside of them. They were so horrible. I mean, I want you to think about this. These pigs are just walking. They're doing what pigs do. As soon as the evil spirits enter into them, they decided to run over a cliff and jump in the water and kill themselves. So you never have to think, does God, is he all right with that demon being in somebody? Even nature itself in the animal kingdom says, this ain't right. It's better to die than live this way. Verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled. Let me be good. And told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. The Bible says, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Curiosity about God is not the same as seeking God. Curiosity about God is not the same as seeking God. Some folks just want to see. I just want to know what happened. They done what? What? Really? Where did this happen at? You just want to see. You're not seeking God. You're just curious. So being curious about God is not the same as seeking God. Verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and his right mind, and they were afraid. So when he was in the tombs, when he was in the chains, don't say nothing about nobody being afraid. Now, clothes in his right mind, got clothes on. let me do something for a second, just for a second. So it says he's sitting and he's clothed, because you know before he was running around in the tubes, you know he ain't had no clothes on. Could it be that these folks just running around with no clothes on? Could it really be because something is on the inside of them that everybody ain't really ready to say what it really is? I mean, you know, you can turn the TV on now. And it's like clothing is optional. But it's amazing that the people you find in the Bible who don't have clothes on got demons. And when they get their mind, their right mind, they put on some clothes. I'm just an observation, you know. So they came to Jesus. If you stay with me, I'm really, because I know you're probably going, I'm talking about walking like the king, but we're just seeing the king here. Just hold on. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. See, some people are so accustomed to what is wrong that they fear what is right. They have been accustomed to dealing with the wrong side of things. Well, you know, let's just let him go in the tomb, let him run around. I mean, whatever. That's fine. Soon as Jesus fixed the man, now they're afraid. There's no mention of these people ever having been afraid before dealing with this man. And this is just my observation. The Bible says they would chain him. And he'd break the chains. Somebody like that, you might want to be a little concerned about. They never mentioned being afraid until he's got his right mind and clothes on and sitting around like somebody that got some sense. And now you're afraid. They were accustomed to what was wrong and became afraid of what was right. Verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. So the people that was there when Jesus dealt with the situation decided, I'm going to tell everybody about this. And verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Let me share something with you. When the word goes forth, people will either respond with faith or they will respond with fear. They say, well, let me tell you how this happened. We were here when he cast the devils out of them, and they went over there into the swine. And they said, oh, my goodness, we got to get him out of here. Because when the word went forth on what happened and the Holy Spirit bare witness to the truth, it was either faith that they were going to have or fear. And we have to be careful, because when the word goes forth, you're going to either have faith or fear. It's your choice. Verse 18. And when he was coming to the ship, so now they want Jesus to leave. So Jesus said, okay. Jesus didn't put up no fuss. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He said, can I go? And then you see me standing here with these folks. I want to go with you. So the only one who responds with faith is the one that was delivered. I'm about to wrap this up, though. We were just going a little slow here to make sure we was all together. Verse 19, because we're talking about walking like the king. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Jesus wouldn't even let him go with him. Can you believe that? Man, I wonder what was wrong. Why Jesus ain't going to let him go? And you know, after all, these crazy folk here, I'm delivered now. Why I want to stay around them? They scared and running around and don't know what's going on. But Jesus says, go home to your friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Oh, you got a testimony now. So, let's see here. The king commissioned him to walk like him amongst his friends. So why would Jesus leave a multitude of people to talk to one man? I mean, you know, the multitudes are flocking. They're right there. They're trying. But Jesus said, we got to go to the other side. He comes over to the other side. Only one man meets him when he comes out, and the man is possessed. So why would Jesus leave a multitude of people to talk to one man? The same reason the king ministered to you. See, according to the scriptures that you were reading, the Bible says in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of what? Gadarenes. Okay. So the king commissioned him to walk like him amongst his friends in Gadarenes. The word Gadarenes means reward at the end. So the king commissioned him because he was the reward at the end. In other words, when Jesus left the multitude, he knew there was a reward on the other side at the end of this. Oh, I ain't just over here dealing with this devil because ain't nothing else going on. There is a reward at the end of this. We're going to the reward that's at the end. Notice there's no, see, you don't even hear about the disciples in this. Or you don't think you hear about the disciples in this. Look at this. See, in the end, you're the reward. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19, for what is our hope? Our joy. Our crown of rejoicing or reward of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? See, this man was the reward at the end. Well, let's see if we can wrap it up. Give me about 5 minutes. We'll see if we can wrap this up. So Jesus commissioned this man to walk like him amongst his friends. Y'all with me on that? Yeah. Jesus leaves a multitude of people to come to this talk to this one man. The reason he does it is because the man is the reward at the end. Now go with me to verse 20. After Jesus told him, you can't come with me. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. So the one man who was now walking like the king amongst his friends began to proclaim what the king had done. Okay, so, and he began to publish or proclaim what the king had done in Decapolis. So he had a place to go. The word Decapolis means 10 cities. So the king was willing to go where he was needed, because there was a man who would be a reward in the end and would be willing to walk like the king and preach in 10 different cities. You said if we get the whole story. So the question is, are you willing to walk like the king? See, it wasn't about the 12 disciples we normally know. Here's one man who was possessed with a demon who Jesus went to where he was needed, not where he was popular, ministered to him. He heard the gospel by being delivered himself. And Jesus said, no, 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 you don't need to go with me. I need you to walk like I do over here. Because when you walk like I do over here, that's 10 cities I ain't even got to show up in. Because I'm already there when you go. See, that's the real question. Are you and I willing to walk like the king? Because when we hear and we know the scripture and we're going to do greater works, greater is not that you're going to do. See, there is no greater work than raising the dead. There is no greater work than opening blind eyes. There is no greater work than healing bodies and raising the dead. You don't get. See, if you raise one dead person, okay, that's not greater than what Jesus did. He is the resurrection and the life. So you can't get greater than that in the quality of it, but you can get greater than that in the quantity. That's why he took one man and sent him to 10 cities. Now I ain't got to go because I'm there with you. So now if we would walk like the king, Jesus ain't got to go there because he's there in us. And we can do greater works. Because now he's able to multiply himself in us. So are you willing to walk like the king now? See, walking with him, oh, well, you know, okay, I can just stay in the back and watch what Jesus is going to do. But you know what he's doing now? Your turn. Your turn. You see me do this. Let's go. Your turn now. Now it's your turn to walk like me. It's your turn now to step up and go amongst your friends in the cities I send you to and walk like me. Oh, don't worry, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I just want you to walk like me now. It's not that I'm leaving you. I just want you to walk like me. Because, see, sometimes we're going to have to come to the conclusion that, listen, Jesus is not going to be there always to hold your hand in that sense. He wants you to mature enough that you can do what he did. He said, occupy till I come. Transact business in my name. Grow up and go handle some stuff now. I need you to handle it. I need you to take care of this. That's why he said, listen, watch this. In Matthew chapter 18, he says, what things soever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. Notice who's doing the binding and loosing. Not Jesus, you. Because now I need you to walk like me. That's the whole goal in this, that we grow up to walk like him. That's why now he can say, I have an authorized representative in the earth. Can I help you out? Now you're like Adam. Now you're like Adam. Watch this. God shows up with Adam in the cool of the day, him and Eve. Okay, he shows up, they commune. What does God do with you? He communes with you, but you transact the business, just like Adam did. Adam, what you gonna call that? God didn't name the animals, Adam did. This, you do it. See, can you walk like the king now? Watch this. One of the things that you always see with Jesus and the disciples, he was always teaching them that he was leaving. He was always trying to get them to a point where they can do what he did. Guess what he's doing with you? It's not changed. Well, God, this situation has come up in my life. Handle it like I did. And see, if he's telling you that, you can do it. Because he wouldn't tell you to do something you can't do. You are ready. Just do it. You know the amazing thing about this man? 1 minute we read about him, he is full of demons. He is the craziest person in the world. He's tearing up stuff. He's cutting himself. He's suicidal. He's got all of these issues. Next thing you know, Jesus has ministered to him. The man is sitting. He's clothed in his right mind. And you know what Jesus says to him? Okay, now it's a tremendous dialogue here. He says, I want to go with you. Jesus says, no, I don't want you to go with me. I want you to stay here. And he says, wait a minute. Not only stay here, I need you to go preach. The man didn't go like, you know what? I ain't qualified. I can't do that. I don't know. I was crazy yesterday, and you want me to go out and do this? What? All he did was obey. You know what we do? Come up with all the excuses on why we can't do it. Oh, I'm this. Wait, you was crazy yesterday, remember? Come on now. Just obey. And the man goes to 10 different cities. And then you see the last part of the scripture? And all the men marveled. Because you know what? Even if he didn't say nothing, he could just sit down with his clothes on in his right mind. Can I get a glass of water? They went, oh, that's the word. Yeah, everybody's talking about what you used to be yesterday. Everywhere he went. Because now he's walking like the king. And that's us. That's what Jesus wants from us. That we mature to the place that we can walk like the king. So when you show up, the presence of God is there. Ain't about, you do know, you know this man's title, right? He had none. Well, you know, he must have been a licensed whatever. No, Jesus said, go do this. You commissioned when he said, go. I need you to stay here with your friend. Oh, I'm commissioned now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you know, you haven't been through enough. I love the fact that this man was simple enough to say, you know what? I don't care what the rest of these folks say. I ain't had no clothes on yesterday. I was cutting myself. I was breaking chains and all, running around, living in the tombs. What they going to say about me now? You crazy because I got on my clothes? Plus, you can't rely on what they say because they were scared when Jesus showed up. But wasn't scared when the devil was there. So we shouldn't really rely on their input anyway. I'm simply saying this, and I'm finished. I believe what God is doing with us is causing us to come to the place where we walk like him. Let me show you why I believe this. I believe that God has taken some of us and put us in positions and you felt like God wasn't there. Let me tell you, okay, Holy Spirit, you felt like he wasn't there because what Jesus did to you was say, go ahead. Handle it. I've taught you enough now. Wasn't it he said, well, you know, I'm going to leave you and all. No, he said, You're mature enough now. You're mature enough now. He was doing what he did with the disciples when he said, okay, I've been telling you all along, this was to get you ready. It was to get you prepared because I want you to be able to execute my will in the earth. And some of us got afraid because we didn't feel like God was there. We were afraid. Oh, I don't know if I can handle this. Because he allowed you to face it, you can handle it. Because if you couldn't face it, if you couldn't handle it, he wouldn't allow you to face it. Whatever he allowed them disciples to come in contact with, he had already prepared them for. Whatever God has allowed you to come in contact with, he already prepared you for. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm closing up. Some of you all, you need to repent because you responded in fear instead of faith. because you were accustomed to trusting your feelings. You walk by faith, not by your feelings. If the king said you can do it, you can do it. Lord, I don't know. You don't have time for all of that. What were you like yesterday? Whatever your yesterday was. So why are you dwelling on all of this fear syndrome now? Respond with the faith that God has given you. Don't be paralyzed not to step and do what God has called you to do. Some of you all, I don't know, it could be a business activity. Some of you all, it's the spiritual things that God is putting before you. Listen, there's a prophetic mantle that some of you all, it hovers over you, but you won't accept it. I know it. I've seen it on your life. But you're afraid what it will cost you. Lord, I may have to, you know, Prophet so-and-so, I heard he's fast at least 3 times a week. God, you know I like eating. Really? Maybe that's what God required of him. Why don't you just say yes? What about your spiritual gift? How developed is it now? When the last time you worked on perfecting your spiritual gift? What do you mean perfecting it? It ain't that the gift need to be worked on. It's you. Being developed. What does God want to do in you? Every one of us. See, this is walking like the king. Because when we come in here, when we come together as believers, the Bible says every joint supplies. What's your joint supplying? Where's that word of encouragement that's in your mouth? Because the gift of exhortation, it right now, it rests on you. But you know what? You're allowing your circumstances to stop you. You won't allow the gifting that's in you to come forth because you're dealing with some things in your life. Like everybody else saying. What that's got to do with your gifting? Why are we overflowing with the gifts? Why is this a place where the gift is just all over? Because we are so stuck in us. Jesus simply told the man, listen, go to your friends. You go handle these cities over here. Why don't we make it easier because we're doing what we're supposed to do? I don't want God to send somebody else because I ain't doing what I'm supposed to do. Every one of us are replaceable. It's just the grace of God that he continues to use us. And I'm simply saying, you all, I believe God wants us to walk like he walks. And Jesus was never so caught up in himself that he couldn't minister to other people. Just share. How would you minister to other people if you knew you were going to die a horrible death by them? Do you know Jesus ministered to the very people who were part of saying, crucify him, crucify him? The person that betrayed him, he gave him the best part of the meal. Can we walk like the king walks? Every head bowed, eyes are closed. I know today is a challenging message, but I believe it's because God is challenging us to take our rightful place in him. There's more beyond the coming to church. Oh, praise the Lord. Good to see you. Yeah, good to see you too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go home now. No, I'm talking about walking like the king. Can you do like Jesus and leave somewhere where you may be popular to go find that one person that don't even look like you should be talking to them? Look like the last person in the world that Jesus should be ministering to is this guy. man, just leave him in the tombs. He crazy. Why are you fooling with him? You know why I'm fooling with him? Because there's a reward in the end. How many people are out there just waiting on you to bring the presence of God to them? It's in the end. They're the reward. They're the reward to your life. They're you seeing the results that God is using you. But you got to forget about the things that you've gone through and dealt with, because it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. And as we move into that, I believe that we're going to see an incredible harvest, not just of souls and people, but a harvest in the realm of the things that God has for his people. Some of you all haven't experienced the joy of knowing what it's like when somebody else receives Christ because of your witness. Because we're so caught up in us. But I believe today God is calling us to walk like him. I feel like the Holy Spirit is impressing on me this. Some of you all, God is going to change your normal way or route of doing things. Because there's someone that he's going to bring across your path. This person has been there, but you weren't ready to deal with them. And now that you see that you can lead from where you're being popular to where you're being needed. And you know what? Some of the people that you need to go to don't know they need you. Because sometimes why don't they just ask? This man that was in the tombs, he didn't ask. But his life showed that he needed Jesus. And Jesus was willing to meet him where he was at, because he went to the other side to find him. Don't be afraid to go to the other side. There's a reward in the end. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those that are under the sound of my voice today. Lord, we're trying to learn to walk like you. Jesus, sometimes it's not as easy because we are accustomed to figuring things out. But Lord, we're learning to lean on you and not on our own understanding. Indeed, to acknowledge you in our ways and watch you direct our path. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to renew our mind that we don't stumble over the things that we've stumbled over in the past that prevent us from being those individuals that you've commissioned to walk like you did. I pray, Father, for a new anointing upon our lives, an anointing that will cause us to overcome the obstacles that have hindered us previously. And God, that we would embrace now your word with faith and not fear. Lord, I pray for those that are indeed the rewards that's in the end, those individuals that need you that may not even know it, and you're going to allow us to come across their paths. Father, thank you, because you said in your word, such were some of us. God, our lives may be whole and complete now, but there was a day and a time, Lord, where we too were beside ourselves. We too were wrapped up in sin and iniquity and transgression. We were enemies of God and didn't know we needed you. But Lord, you saw fit to use someone to come past us and share the truth, to publish the gospel. May we too have the privilege of knowing that we've shared or published the gospel and someone responded to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I just want to make sure you're clear. This is a challenge to walk like the King did. It's not a challenge from me. I believe it's a challenge from God, because we're equipped to do so. Everywhere we go, there's somebody. Somebody needs the presence of God. Can he use us to manifest that presence? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Amen.